Good morning, Mr. Ambassador.
Good morning.
You saw France lose against Tonga a couple of weeks ago. I just wondered, did you leave the stadium that night thinking France had any chance of winning the Rugby World Cup?
Yes, I would do that because I'm truly convinced that things have changed. First, the players are very experienced players. Don't forget 50% of our team was already fighting and playing in 2007. So they're in the tournament and they knew that they were almost qualified when they came to the match. Probably they made a bit of a sin in thinking that they would be superior to the Tongans. So here you are. You have to be more humble in one way or another. But then they changed, kind of a new French Revolution. And from the quarterfinal, I see we've reached another stage. And the guys know that it's the last step before heaven now. So they won't miss that. I think the spirits have been lifted. Stakes are very high, and they've adapted to that.
That night, I was sitting in front of some French students from a school in Tunisia. Does the embassy know how many visitors from France or from French-related territories are here for the tournament?
Well, we get info from the Rugby World Cup organization and various travel agencies. We estimated before the quarterfinal that we were having probably between 11 and 12,000 people, but new sources have said that we would be 17,000 at the quarterfinal. So what is obvious, and you can see that with your own eyes in the audience in the stadium, there are many, many French, and that's an excellent thing. Mind you, it's not only true here in New Zealand. We have now almost 10 million viewers for each match in France, 10 million viewers, which is between 3 and 4 times more than 10 years ago. The rugby is becoming bigger even in France.
It can be hard in the stadium to tell the real French fans from the New Zealanders who support France or at least want to dress up as French.
No, I'm doing that every day. Don't worry.
Have you felt this tournament has been an occasion for a good deal of mutual goodwill?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's even beyond that. I think the way people are welcome here, supporters as well as players, is fantastic. It's a true advertising for the country. People will certainly go back with the feeling that, hey, it's really good to go to New Zealand. It's a wonderful country. People are genuinely opening their heart and their houses sometimes. They're genuinely playing the game. We had a lot of support in the quarterfinal, a lot of support. Mm-hmm. And this is not only true in the playground or around the playground, but in daily life. So definitely the Rugby World Cup here in 2011 is already for this a huge success for the country, I think.
I think it's sometimes probably overlooked, don't you think, that France has been part of New Zealand's story since the earliest days of European settlement here?
Yes, that's true. I was precisely in Waitangi yesterday for the launch of a book about Bishop Pontalier, because we have to remind everyone that there was a strong commitment, so even from the French side, at the beginning of the story of the country, official history of the country. And it's not to have any kind of nostalgia about, yes, South Island could have been French and so on. It's just to renew a link with the people, and especially the Maoris.
Going back to French rugby for a moment here, French rugby said to be unpredictable, but when I looked, it seemed that France has actually reached the semi-finals in the last 5 World Cups in a row, which is a better record of consistency than the All Blacks, the Wallabies, the South Africa or England can claim. I wonder whether we should perhaps downplay this stuff about the wayward and dashing French and begin to think of them as the old reliables of World Cup rugby.
It doesn't matter, because what you said is the main point. Indeed, we've always been present. Joe Mazzo, the manager of the team, told me with a smile after the quarterfinal, it was his fourth semi-final, and we're here. Simply, we're here. So now we are for the ultimate, or almost the ultimate, and of course, everybody thinks, oh, how nice it would be to replay in 1987 with a different issue, with a different outcome.
Just speaking generally, though, about that stereotype about Gaelic flair, in your opinion, is there any truth to that stereotype about the wayward and unpredictable French?
Well, we are a strange combination, but this new generation of players, they seem to combine actually a lot like the All Blacks: experience, speed, and imagination. If the ball is flying, and if you really want to play, there's something extraordinary which can happen. We're not the only one having flair. I'm sure a lot of teams have flair as well. But it's just that it fits our style of game. We want to adapt, and our team this time has really demonstrated strong capacity for adaptation. And we're going to see a new stage of that Saturday evening.
I wonder whether personally, as the embodiment of France and New Zealand, do you ever feel personally more exotic than you do back at home?
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I think now that we have so many pictures about the countries, so many connections. I'm using Skype with my kids, and one of them at the moment is in Germany, and she doesn't feel far away, and I don't feel far away being in New Zealand. The feeling of proximity, I think, is stronger than the tyranny of distance, or the so-called tyranny of distance. Exoticism is not there. True curiosity, certainly. And because trip lasts a bit longer than usual trips, curiosity and sometimes hesitation in jumping over the other side of the world. But no, exoticism wouldn't be the word I would use to describe the feeling. And I'm not in the eyes of New Zealanders, because every time I meet a new friend, they're telling me about a recent trip to France or a recent trip to Paris. So it seems France remains the destination of choice, which is great.
In general, is France more passionate about soccer than it is about what Americans call soccer and the rest of the world calls football than it is about rugby?
Well, if you look at it in numbers of viewers in front of the TV set, it's no more the case. We are reaching now the same number, between 10 and 12 million people, but we have four times less players. We have a bit more than 2 million people playing soccer in France, and we have about 390,000 rugby players in various clubs. So it's really a part of the movement where rugby is becoming a world game, and in France even bigger. That's great.
It's no longer just a regional passion.
Definitely not. And this cup reaches probably a new stage for that.
Right. Rugby is said to build character. And a few weeks ago, France gifted a sculpture to the New Zealand Rugby Union that says as much. I wondered what role, if any, did rugby play in your life as you grew up?
Oh, rugby played a bit of a role, except that I was a rather quick runner, and I was used as a winger in a team, but my problem was they asked me, you have to go straight, so I went straight. And I went straight even if there was someone in front of me, so I was playing dangerously, so I stopped.
And you're not exactly Jonah Lomu in size.
Exactly. They were stopping me to avoid me to break my head. But the feeling for the game and the wonderful exercise in a team remains something I'm very attached to. I played other sports like handball and basket, but rugby has a special feeling because it's very tactical, and it's a game where you have to have la tête froide, which means be still reasonable and passionate at the same time. It's wonderful.
Your own career has included helping to fashion the peace process in New Caledonia. Did you ever imagine the job would entail being a commentator about rugby?
Well, diplomacy is about being able to adapt to any situation, but in this case you're speaking to my heart as well as to my head, so that's no problem. No, I didn't imagine that really, but I'm very happy to do that now.
New Zealanders seem to like French rugby team more than we like the Wallabies, who may be too much like us for comfort. I've heard the reverse, that if France doesn't win, the French would like to see an All Blacks victory. Can that be true?
No, I wouldn't go in that kind of polemic, as we say. There's something special when you have a bit of water between two big nations of rugby. You have this special relationship vis-a-vis the Australians, and we have the same vis-a-vis the English team or the Welsh team. or the Irish team or the Scottish team. But okay, fair enough, the game is the game, and we would be just delighted to be in a final, and that's the next step. Whoever comes with us, whoever wants to be in front of us, we welcome with a big smile.
Marc Livremont, the coach of the French team, was described by the Guardian newspaper as being a passionate kind of fellow who doesn't count up to 10 before he expresses his emotions. And certainly earlier this year, when his team lost to Italy, he called his players a disgrace to the shirt. It's the kind of passion that's hard to imagine from Graham Henry. Put it this way, if France does lose to Wales, would people in France be likely to rend their garments or shrug and say, c'est la vie?
Well, I don't know, and I'm not going to go into this direction, because as far as the coach is concerned, and as far as so-called declarations of the coach are concerned, all our spirit and stuff and so on, I won't comment on that. But I know the game, I know the guy, sorry, is committed, is truly committed to his players, to the team, and to the result. The rest, for me, I'm not saying anything.
Okay. France did beat Wales 28-9 in March this year during the Six Nations. You're picking, obviously, if you're a gambling man, you'd probably be picking a similar result on Saturday.
Yep. We'll see that.
Can you remember where you were during the celebrations when France won the FIFA World Cup in 98?
Yes, I was with my family in front of the TV, and to my astonishment, my mother, my sister, and a lot of people who couldn't care about soccer became ecstatic and the most passionate fans. And I hope, more than inside within my family, but for everyone, I hope this is going to be repeated on the 23rd of October.
Well, one consolation that we have here is that whenever France has reached the Rugby World Cup final in the past, it has lost big time, by 20 points in 1987 and by 23 points in 1999. Does this suggest to you that France may tend to be a bit shy and overawed by the big occasion?
In France, we have a say, jamais deux sans trois. So the ultimate is the third one. We're nearing that moment. That's all I will say.
Okay. Now, France has ended New Zealand's hopes at the Rugby World Cup, not once, but twice.
Yep.
If France win the World Cup this time, are you worried that this may make you persona non grata?
Oh, I would love to have that challenge. Frankly, I would love to have that challenge. But I'm sure the spirit here is so much in favor of rugby and nothing else that there would be a clear distinction remaining between the diplomatic role and the outcome of a match or the success of a team, I'm convinced.
So you're not working on your disguise at the moment?
Not yet. But we will speak about this after the 23rd, with pleasure.
So will you be, where are you planning to be on the night for the final?
Oh, I will be in the stadium, of course, and then we will be here with the players, whatever happens. We have to be present. We have to be cheering, and we have to make sure that the boys feel comforted and supported by us. That's the main point.
Okay. Hey, it's a pleasure talking to you this morning, Mr. Ambassador, and thank you very much for talking to Scoop.
My pleasure. See you then.
Bye.